I'm Mark Bayshore. It's Current State on WKAR, along with Proposal 1 that would increase the state sales tax to fund road repairs. Voters in East Lansing will be facing a couple of other proposals next Tuesday. One would allow for the use, possession, and transfer of up to 1 ounce of marijuana on private property by people over the age of 21. The other would amend the city charter to allow for the sale of certain city properties with the approval of a simple majority of voters, rather than the current requirement of approval by three-fifths of votes cast. Here to talk about the marijuana proposal, Jeffrey Hank, chairman of the Michigan Comprehensive Cannabis Law Reform Initiative Committee. Welcome back, Jeff.
Thanks, Mark.
And East Lansing Mayor Nathan Triplett is also here for the city's perspective on both the marijuana proposal and the city charter amendments. Mayor Triplett, welcome back.
Thank you.
Jeff Hank, this sounds like the same measure that recently passed in Lansing, is it?
Very similar. We've updated it slightly, and you've seen this pass now in about 16, 17, 18 different Michigan cities over the past few years. So we've added the word transport because there were some questions about, you know, someone traveling from one property or another. But it's essentially what was passed in Lansing with 63% of the vote 2 years ago.
Ounce or less, 21 years of age or more, private property. That's really the heart of the proposal.
It's adults, right? Basically in the privacy of their own home, small amounts of marijuana. We want the police to leave them alone and focus on real crime. That's the gist of it.
Mayor Nathan Triplett, is that how you see it?
Yeah, I think that accurately describes what's going to be on the ballot. Voters will also see an explanatory caption from the city council that just seeks to clarify what the limitations are on local law in this respect, specifically because there's obviously superseding state and federal laws on this issue. So, I just think that as voters approach this issue, it's important to send a message to the legislature about how we support decriminalization in East Lansing, but it's also important for East Lansing residents to recognize what will and will not change as far as the law is concerned related to use, possession, transport.
You told the Lansing State Journal that you support decriminalization of marijuana, but that local amendments like this one aren't the best way to do it. What did you mean?
Well, a couple of things. First and foremost, in a university town like East Lansing, the rules on MSU's campus are not the rules in the city of East Lansing. MSU's campus is governed by the ordinances of the MSU Board of Trustees, not our city charter or ordinances. So assuming this proposal passes on Tuesday, which I believe it will, it has no effect whatsoever on MSU's campus, which means the law will be different south of Grand River than it is north of Grand River. Likewise, even in the city of East Lansing, this proposal will prohibit the enforcement of any local ordinance on the issue of marijuana use, possession, transport, but state law will still be in effect. So the fact of the matter is that this is a pressing issue in Michigan and across the country. The state and the federal government should absolutely deal with it and rationalize our approach towards marijuana. And doing it on the local level can be a powerful symbol to tell those leaders in Lansing and in Washington, D.C., we need to address this issue. But as far as what the law actually looks like on the ground, there's very limited authority for locals to really impact how marijuana is treated.
Jeffrey Hank, you would seem to be kind of on board with that view, though, as well, because you are a supporter of statewide marijuana reform, correct?
Definitely on board that the state legislature needs to take some leadership on this issue, and so does the United States Congress. But we're very lucky in Michigan. You know, not every state has an initiatory process. We're one of only 23 or 24 states that voters can actually do this. And at the local level, we're also very lucky because not every state that has an initiatory process can do this. So we're very unique in Michigan. And if you look across the entire country, we're the only state where you've had over a dozen cities where local voters have initiated by petition marijuana reform. So it's a very powerful tool we have here in Michigan. This arose out of the progressive era in the 1920s. It came along with direct election to U.S. senators and the women's right to vote and things like that. So it's a very powerful tool, and it does have a real-world effect because the East Lansing police hopefully will get the message, and they hopefully will respect the will of the voters. And you see that attitude in Lansing and Jackson and some of these other cities where it has already passed, where local police basically have the discretion to enforce state or local law, and they choose to respect the will of the voters. And that's exactly what we hope ELPD does, and we hope the legislature and everybody else gets that message, assuming the voters pass this on Tuesday.
Clarify for us, though, Mayor Triplett, do you intend to support the measure? Do you intend to vote for it?
I will be voting for it. I'm confident that it will pass in the city of East Lansing. But again, my primary concern is making sure that on May 6th, after the proposal passes, that folks are clear about what the law is and is not. And frankly, it's also important to recognize what the current practice of ELPD is. So let's look at this fiscal year. There have been a total, any marijuana-related offenses in East Lansing, 23 since July. So that's about two a month. The idea that East Lansing is spending significant time or resources looking for individuals who are using marijuana in the privacy of their own home just doesn't comport with reality. So from a practical standpoint, there will be very little change in the practice of our police department because it's already a very low enforcement priority for them. They're focused on dealing with real crime in the community. And more often than not, in those 23 cases where a situation arises where a citation is ultimately issued for use or possession, it's normally secondary to some primary other activity. So, for example, if you're pulled over for speeding and you happen to have a bag of marijuana on the passenger seat, it's possible an officer would issue a citation in a case like that. But they're not trolling around looking for folks who are using marijuana in the privacy of their own home. And even when they encounter folks with marijuana, issuing a citation is a very rare thing in East Lansing.
In the communities, in the Michigan communities that have decriminalized, Lansing, Jackson, Ann Arbor, Grand Rapids, I believe, is one. How many are there altogether?
There's at least 16 or 17 or 18, depending if you count lowest law enforcement priority initiatives.
Have you followed whether or not there have been repercussions to these legalization efforts?
Well, I can speak to that a little bit, and there have not in terms of negative repercussions. The positive repercussions you hear about are the anecdotal stories on the street, like in Lansing, for example, where Mayor Virg Bonero has been very vocal about his support for legalization and reform, is you're seeing people not arrested for minor marijuana offenses. And that has a real-world impact on people's lives. It affects housing, federal aid, the ability to get a job. I have seen, as a practicing attorney, young men in East Lansing caught with minuscule amounts of marijuana who have been pressured to become confidential informants by police. I've seen foreign students who could be charged with this crime, who could be deported. So there are real-world applications here if this is enacted that will more positively affect people's lives. And we know very clearly that marijuana is safer than alcohol and that there is more harm that comes about because of marijuana prohibition than from the use of marijuana.
Any response to that, Mayor Triplett?
No, again, I think essentially in East Lansing, this is already a low enforcement priority. And the practice day-to-day of our police department, because it's already not something that they're spending a lot of time on, isn't likely to change very much. But the one point that I think is, again, for voters' information, especially Michigan State University students' information that needs to be made clear, is even if it passes, the law on MSU's campus related to use and possession will not change. And folks also need to recognize that regardless of what we might like to see at a local level and what the reason that folks are calling for change at a state level, there is the risk of collateral consequences from these convictions, financial aid consequences, having to report to the State Character and Fitness Committee if those students are looking to become attorneys. And my primary concern is just that folks recognize in this transition period, while locals are passing ordinances, while we're working towards state-level reform, that people realize what the law is and is not so that they can be smart about how they're behaving.
Let's quickly address the land sale issue. If you could explain that, Mayor Triplett. I mean, the city has a history of wanting to sell properties, but being basically stymied by the city charter requirement that these sales have to get 3/5 of voters.
Very quickly, East Lansing has one of the, if not the most restrictive provision on the council's authority to sell property in the state of Michigan, one of only three communities currently with this provision. Frankly, it dates back to essentially the First World War. 1919 is where this language originally came from. So what the proposal would do is simply bring us in line with other communities across the state. In fact, we would still have one of the most restrictive provisions even if this passed, but rather than requiring a 60% supermajority to approve the sale of non-park property, a majority of East Lansing voters would be able to decide. And I do want to emphasize both of those points, that every property subject for a vote the day before this proposal is on the ballot, even if it passes, will be subject to a vote the day after, but the majority will be able to decide, and parks are in no way impacted one way or the other. The rule for the sale of park property, ironically, is already a simple majority in East Lansing. So we're only talking about non-park property, and we're talking about voters still having the ability to make their voice heard on every single property sale for property valued over $194,000, which is the current threshold today.
Donald Power of the group Neighborhoods First, former city councilman, told the Lansing City Pulse that, quote, there's nothing wrong with a supermajority. He says it keeps a rogue city council and administration from selling off city-owned properties, equating it with a system of checks and balances. What do you think? How are you responding to that argument?
So I think, in fact, supermajority requirements are extremely rare. In fact, this charter amendment in and of itself is an example of that. We can amend our local charter, the voters can, which is essentially our local constitution, with a simple majority vote, but we can't sell a piece of vacant property. And the reality is that this charter provision has had a demonstrably negative impact on taxpayers, on the city's budget, and on obstructing the removal of blight from our downtown. So again, we will still have one of the most restrictive provisions in the state if this proposal passes. Voters will still be able to have their voice heard on every property sale they would have had prior to the passage of this amendment. And what it really does is bring us in line with other communities across the state and make sure that the voice of the majority of voters can be heard and that we haven't handed a vocal minority a heckler's veto over sound public policy decisions made by the majority of East Lansing residents.
Our guests have been East Lansing Mayor Nathan Triplett and Michigan Comprehensive Cannabis Law Reform Initiative Committee Chairman. That's a title. Jeffrey Hank. Mayor Triplett, Jeffrey Hank. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.